Okay, we're speeding the music up a little bit here, segment by segment. Let it roll, Mike. We got to get these people out of bed. Your Saturday morning wake-up tradition. Woo-hoo! Let's saddle up. Miss Jennifer, I think I'm almost turning you into a sports fan, aren't I?
Almost.
You really enjoyed that Diamondback game the other night, didn't you?
I did, especially since we got to see some runs, and we won!
And we won.
I even bought a shirt.
Yes, you did. She even bought a Diamondback shirt.
Buying in.
Very good. You're buying in, yeah. They did well. They did well that night. They almost cleared the bench in a brawl. That was interesting.
I've never seen anything like that, like little ants pouring out onto the field.
Golly. I missed really what was going on because I was in the middle of a conversation with someone, and then I see the benches clear, and I thought, oh, what did I miss?
We never did even figure out what the brawl was about.
Well, I think I caught up the next day in the sports broadcast the next morning.
They translated.
What was going on there, yeah. Well, I hope your teams are doing well. ASU just squeaked out a winning last night from the University of Texas of San Antonio. I think ASU was actually trailing a good part or some part of that game. U of A plays Hawaii today, so good luck on your Wildcats victory over the what is the Hawaiians, the pineapples or something? I don't know. I'm not making fun. I just don't know. And then NAU plays New Mexico Highlands, and of course our Cardinals are at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I certainly hope they can improve their performance from last week. We had a history-making performance from Larry Fitzgerald with his 100th touchdown reception. Did you see that catch? I mean, that was not just your ordinary, normal catch. That he wanted number 100 pretty bad. It was not. It did not equal the reception by the South Dakota Jackrabbit in the end zone.
Yeah,
one-handed. That made all the sports highlight reels,
it did. I think it was number 5 as far as top plays on Saturday, and then as far as the college game day, some of those shows picked it as the number 1 play of the week.
Have you got it as your screensaver on yeah, your computer?
Basically.
It was an Odell Beckham one-handed catch. And it was a pretty incredible reception.
Most of the announcers that were there that have been doing play-by-play for 20-plus years said it was the most impressive play they've ever seen in person.
And they didn't even need that touchdown.
Oh, no. Not against Drake. Come on.
y'all handled them pretty well, didn't you?
Yeah, it was about 30 points. If it would have been anything less, we would have been disappointed.
Okay. And my team, LSU, plays Mississippi State Bulldogs this afternoon. So that should be a really good close game. Jennifer, we were talking about what we were reading earlier in the program today, but one of the books you didn't mention you're reading and one that you really enjoy is that Edible magazine.
It's a magazine.
And that you're getting. And there's Edible for different areas
all
of the state.
All across the country.
Okay.
But the one that I've loved so far is Edible Baja, all southern Arizona. But I've started subscribing also to Edible Phoenix. And what's surprising is it's much smaller than Edible Baja, but it has some great little stories in it, and the paper is just really cool. It's a nice, real magazine stock. But this time of year, it starts to cool off, and all I can think about is harvesting. I love to go and harvest things.
You've been eyeing them prickly pear fruit. When we're out riding the horses, she's knocking them off. She's testing them.
Well, we'll get to that one in a minute, but I wanted to, a lot of people won't do that, but everybody loves to harvest apples, right? And if you give Red Rock State Park a call, they have a market where you can go up.
That's right there at Slide Rock, right?
Right, yep. You just pull right in, and you pull in. It's August through October. You have to look it up, give them a call. Frank answers the phone. He'll tell you everything you want to know. But right now, they have red delicious apples. You can either buy them already picked, which is a little more expensive, or you can pay to park and then go pick your own, which is just a blast. Take the kids, take a wagon. He has bags for you up there. And it's a lot cheaper than what you buy in the store. So if a peck of apples is 10 to 12 pounds.
I never heard of that measurement before.
That's because you're not an apple farmer.
What's a bushel?
Don't do this to me. The peck is at the bottom.
A peck is smaller than a bushel?
Yes. So a peck. I don't know how to.
A peck of apples is how much? 10 pounds?
10 to 12 pounds.
Okay.
So for a quarter peck, it's $3. So You're talking about a very good value.
$1 a pound.
Yes. If you've been to the grocery store and tried to buy apples, my favorite are Honeycrisp. They are $4 a pound.
Okay.
So it's a really great deal. Frank did say they're a little wormy.
Wormy?
So you have to, you know, dig through them. But they're about half of them, he said, are not. So you just, you know, that's part
How
of
How many worms do you find in the $4 a pound
I don't
variety
know.
In the
I don't
store?
Know. But they're organic and it's charming and you get to go out and pick your own. And just the whole heirloom concept is really popular right now because, you know, you kind of get back to the original, just original plants that we had in the country. These orchards are 100 years old that they have up there. And the different ones that they have in the area are Arkansas Black, Black Twig, Grimes Golden.
That's all names
King
of different
David.
Kinds of apples.
Mm-hmm, different ones. And they actually, Sedona, Red Rock has different ones. They just ripen at different times. So right now it's Red Delicious. So anyway, but you know, you can't even, I like Honeycrisp, I'm going to plant one. You can't. They're patented. You can't even, it's against the law to even graft a limb off of one. So, but
seriously?
Yes, but all these, you know, like what you buy at Harper's Nursery or, you know, around town, you can plant those, but you can't just plant these name brand designer apples. And if you stay in the area up there, if you stay at the Juniper Resort, they have a King David orchard, which you can have access to. And at the Garlands Lodge, they have a Spitzenberg, which is actually Thomas Jefferson's favorite apple. So it's a history lesson, too.
I don't know that I've ever had a Spitzenberg apple.
Me either. We may need to go stay at the Garlands Lodge for staycation research.
You make the reservation.
Okay. But anyway, isn't that fun? Now, if you are a little more adventuresome and you want to try the prickly pear deal, we've been getting...
I like prickly pear better than apple.
Well, okay.
I've never found an apple I really like.
Well, I've been doing it for a long time. When we lived out in New River, I found a book you had bought, and it was about harvesting prickly pear, and they taught you to burn the stickers off. So I spent hours burning the stickers off. And
We?
I don't remember you. Okay, all right.
In the very beginning.
Okay. Well, and so then Katie joined me, and we had her Semper Fi husband in the kitchen in the heat of the summer burning them off over the gas stove, and there were stickers. We were trying to be careful, but there were stickers everywhere.
And they're little bitty stickers.
Oh,
they're almost
fine.
Like no-see-ums.
Even with the thorn armor gloves, you can still get stickers. You still have to use the tongs and stuff, but the stick that gives you a little extra layer.
We ended up with stickers in our living room couches. We ended up with stickers in the carpet. We ended up with stickers in my lazy boy leather chair.
For weeks. It was awful. We usually do them outside on the barbecue, but it was just so hot. And bless Bruce's heart, he was game, and he stood there for hours. Anyway, so you and I were in Winslow. I picked up this prickly pear cookbook by Carolyn Nighthammer,
Staying at the La Posada.
Mm-hmm. And it says you can just throw the whole thing in a bullet blender.
That's simpler.
So you rinse them off, because they do get little spiders and webs and dust. So we rinse them off in the sink, throw them in the blender, just grind the heck out of them. And
you just emulsify them to nothing.
You do, but then you have to strain it. So Katie and I have gotten where we do such big quantities. We take, she invented this, you take a pillowcase, and Bruce strung it up for us. And after you've slushed this fruit, you pour it in there, and it pours into a big 5-gallon bucket. So then what you have left in the pillowcase is all the seeds and maybe a sticker that got through
the mulch
or whatever.
And everything.
And then we boil it and make syrup, and we use that all year for, you can flavor tea, you can use it like syrup on your pancakes.
It's the best iced tea
in your water.
In the world.
You know, Pellegrino water. So over your ice cream, there's no end to what you can do with it. It's a lot of fun to
And it's such a pretty color.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. I'm sure that it must
have
been used for a diet.
Presentation,
yes.
You know?
It's like a reddish purple. So anyway, that's what.
And then you stumbled across a new author.
Yes, sorry about that. Yeah, I talked to John Slattery. When I picked up this edible, Phoenix Edible Magazine, on the very first page, there is an article about a couple new books about Southwest foraging.
I want that book.
Well, I've already got a copy on the way. I called the publisher.
All right.
And then I emailed the author, and he's out of Tucson. Very smart guy, very well known down there for his knowledge of botany. And he has I don't know a lot about it yet. He has something called the Desert Tortoise Botanicals, and he does workshops on Sonoran herbalist. And he's agreed to come on for a interview. So I'm anxious to get to visit with him. But he's got, the title is Southwest Foraging, 117 Wild and Flavorful Edibles from Barrel Cactus to Wild Oregano. So I see more harvesting in our future. So
This is our next chapter of empty nesting.
We're living an earth ship and harvest out of the desert.
We've got a show coming up on earth ships, where Jennifer and I stayed in Taos, New Mexico. And you actually found a couple of them here in Arizona.
I did. There's one in Camp Verde and one in Flagstaff. And there's one named the Phoenix one, but it's actually in New Mexico,
It's
right?
in Taos, yeah.
It looks like something like Alice in Wonderland. It's phenomenal. It's $400 a night to stay in.
Yeah, but it sleeps six. I mean, it's a whole house. So I don't think that's a bad deal.
It was just a lot for an Earthship, but yes.
Especially if you're meeting your kids there and you want to go skiing at Taos. That's a pretty
good deal,
night lodging, really.
Yeah.
I think there's one being built way out west of Whitman.
Really?
I think so.
I ought to go check it out. So it'd be fun to see one built.
Yeah, it would. It would. So we're going to be harvesting prickly pears in our loincloths living in an Earthship. With our horses.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
You got to tune in for that show.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, we've got Romy going to be joining us here in this next segment in just a couple minutes. He's actually outdoors right now in a beautiful spot. If you've ever been north of Prescott there on 89A past the Veterans Hospital just a little ways, there's Watson Lake. Well, next to Watson Lake, there's the Watson Wood Riparian Preserve. And he's actually set up the broadcast equipment right there in the great outdoors where he's being joined by John Eisenhower. And they're going to have a whole 8 o'clock landscaping show. He's up there for the Arizona Community Tree Council annual conference, which they're holding at the Bucky's Resort up on the hill. But Romy opted to find a better location for the broadcast. So, of course, if it was Romy's choice, we'd have an outdoor broadcast every Saturday morning. So he's going to be joining us here in a few minutes.
Wasn't it last year they broadcast from one of the oldest trees in the state?
Yeah, the Witness. It was the champion juniper tree, which was also a witness tree. And what you do is you nominate a particular tree for being the champion of its species in the state. And the trained botanists go out there.
Well, I don't know about arborists, probably.
Arborists, that's what I'm thinking. The trained arborists go out there and they measure it and determine, is it the champion in the state for its size? And if, in fact, it is, then you can nominate it for champion. And there's actually a website that you can go nominate. We don't have champion trees in a lot of species, only because no one's ever nominated that particular species. So you can still do that. And then if it's a witness tree, that means it witnessed the birth of the state of Arizona in 1912. They were at the Witness Champion Juniper Tree somewhere just outside of Prescott.
It's just John and Romy out in the middle of nowhere, right?
So John Eisenhower is not our trained botanist. He's our trained arborist, and he'll be talking everything to do with trees in the 8 o'clock hour. So that's our show lined up for you today at 9 o'clock. We'll be talking about whatever you want to talk about, whatever you're concerned about around your house, home, castle, or cabin. We've got some extremely peculiar projects that we're bidding at Rosie on the House Remodeling right now. I want to talk about that. And 10 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the theory of people wanting to close in their kitchens.
I think it's just a theory based on the pushback I've gotten on Facebook.
We tracked a design trend that's coming from the East Coast, New York City, about getting rid of the open kitchens and going back to the closed kitchens. There's two things you don't do. You don't take your design trends from New York City, and you don't take your salsa from New York City.